prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have both an exciting and important show to talk about today. We're going to talk about vaccines and childhood illness with Dr. Thomas Cowan in just a second. You know, it's undeniable that children are developing diseases seen only in the elderly and especially autoimmune diseases. And something is going on, and there could be a link to the vaccine process. Children are getting more and more vaccines today within the first 5 years of their lives than we've ever gotten before. So we're going to explore that. Of course, I have to pay homage to our title sponsor, All-American Pharmaceutical and EFX Sports. You can get six of their top-selling products absolutely free by going to superhumanradio.net and clicking the EFX Sports banner ad. And you'll get a ton of really great stuff because Dr. Jeff Galini believes that no one should buy anything until they've tried it. You will pay $5 and change for shipping, but that is legitimately the shipping cost. It is not a self-liquidating where you're actually paying for the quote-unquote free thing that they're giving away. So check that out and show them some love. And without further delay, welcome to the show, Dr. Thomas Cowan. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm great. I really am. It's a Monday. I love Mondays. Most people hate Mondays, but I spend the weekend not doing what I love, which is being on the air, and now I get to join that process with you. So let's talk a little bit about, before we get into the subject of the book, as a physician, when did you start to, because most physicians don't look at vaccines any other way than the medical orthodoxy kind of teaches them to. When did you start to look at vaccines with a different opinion?
For me, it was about 2 years before I went to medical school. So we're talking in the late 70s. And then while I was in medical school, I was exposed to something called anthroposophical medicine, which took a very different view of childhood illness and the whole evolution of health in human beings. So I was pretty skeptical, and that's, I would say, an understatement, about the whole process since, you know, about the early to mid-80s.
So that had to have an alienating effect on you, I would imagine, because any physician who steps out these days, as soon as the word vaccine is mentioned, you know, the medical orthodoxy has done a great job in squelching any discussion that isn't pro-vaccine.
Well, as I like to say, it probably alienated me from some and not from others.
Yeah.
So I always had a group of colleagues and people that I, you know, hung out with and communicated with who were fairly of like mind, and over the years I've had a lot of students and young doctors who've come and studied with me, so I haven't been at a loss for people to talk to or colleagues to communicate with.
Well, I commend you for your courage, because any physician who comes out in this day and age and says anything even moderately middle of the road, you know, not completely pro, anything middle of the road about vaccines usually gets attacked in this day and age. So I commend you for that. So talk about what you have seen over the years, and in the course of the correlation between vaccine load and childhood illness.
Well, it's I think a little bit about what I've seen, but it's more what. Not just what I've seen, but what the statistics and the actual data that's being collected on the current status of childhood health, and that basically everyone around can see in their own eyes what's happening. I mean, basically, I have had a lot of children in my practice, you know, in the early days. I was living and working in a small town in New Hampshire, and it was around a Waldorf school and a biodynamic farm, and most of my patients were similar age people as me with young families like I had, and you know, we basically didn't vaccinate at all. I probably have given 10 tetanus shots in my whole career. And I would say in my group of patients, I saw a fair amount of the illness that people currently vaccinated for, including chickenpox and some measles and a little bit of mumps and a lot of whooping cough, like probably 1,000 cases. And so all those people were fine. I never had a bad outcome from any of that. Not to say that that couldn't have happened, but it just didn't. And the other thing that I didn't see was much chronic disease. So it was extremely unusual for one of my patients to have asthma, eczema, you know, Crohn's disease, peanut allergies, or any of the sort of common autoimmune diseases that children have today. And again, I would emphasize that's not just my observation, although that is my observation, but that's what we know about from just observing society in general. There has been a massive shift. You know, I'm in my early 60s, and when I was in elementary school, as far as I know, there was one child who had a chronic disease. And now something like 30 to 40% of the children in Detroit public schools carry an inhaler to school. So that's a massive change in the type of disease that children are facing. And whether it's Crohn's or eczema or peanut allergies or childhood cancer, there has been a massive shift since 50, 60 years ago.
Oh, I'm with you. You and I are around the same age. And I don't remember any of the kids that I grew up with in grammar school having the types of chronic diseases that we see in children today. And it's really bad. I mean,
We have young children developing breast cancer and colon cancer now.
Right. And even diseases like autism, which is actually now 1 in 37 children is diagnosed with being on the autistic spectrum. And, you know, some people would say, well, it's just that we didn't know how to diagnose that 100 years ago. And I would only say about that two things. One is it's hard for me to believe that all the intelligent people of 50 and 100 years ago couldn't identify that there was something wrong with a severely or moderately severely autistic child.
Right.
And in fact, the first case of autism was recorded in about 1937. And the second thing I'd say about that is if it was true that there was, you know, 1 in 50 children who were autistic 50 years ago, then where are all the 60-year-old autistic people?
Wow, that's a powerful observation.
Yeah, I mean, they would be institutionalized, and they would be wards of the state or something like that.
Right.
And they're just, you don't see it. You see a lot in their teens, you see a lot in their early 20s, and you see even more, you know, the actual numbers are increasing. So that's a bogus argument, in my opinion. This is a new development, and we have to somehow understand why, and I, at least from my understanding and the reason I wrote this book, is it's pretty clear why. Whether people accept it or not is their business, but to me it's fairly clear.
By the way, if you are a parent or parent-to-be, this book is written in a very balanced nature. This is not one of the zealot-like books that a lot of people like to make fun of when we talk about vaccines. The book is called Vaccine, Autoimmunity, and the Changing Nature of Childhood Illness. It's available at Amazon.com. If you have young children or you are young enough where you don't have children yet and you're planning on having children, you need to buy this book and read it. You need to be open to all of the possibilities when it comes to children. Children today, I forget, when you and I were young, I mean, I think we got a polio vaccine and maybe I know that I had the mumps. I never had the chicken pox. I remember Rubella vaccines were popular when I was in grammar school, but maybe we were, maybe, what, four or five vaccines that we got as children?
Yeah, it was about 6 to 9, depending on the year you're talking about. And the only thing I would say about that, just to put another slant on this, is people who think that this is only a children's issue, I would remind them that according to the CDC mandated schedule, which is now being more and more tightly and more aggressively enforced, the number of vaccines that people between the ages of 18 and 65 are required to get is now approximately 66.
Wow.
So if you think this is just an issue for children, you are mistaken, and there's at least 500 potential new vaccines in the pipeline. So this is not an issue just for children. It's not an issue just for parents. This is an issue of all people because, like I say, there's approximately 65, 66 vaccines mandated, not different ones. So about 40 of those are flu shots. But all told, there are about 66 different vaccines between the ages of 18 and 65. So this is an issue for everybody.
I had Dr. Merrill Nass on my show. I think it was in 2009. And this is when, you remember anthrax was all, in the media because people were sending anthrax in envelopes and there was threats of anthrax gas in the Middle East. And so, they were giving every enlisted person who had the potential to be deployed an anthrax vaccine. And she testified in front of Congress that 1 out of 1,000 of these soldiers developed irreversible cardiomyopathy. And she directly linked it and she showed the pathway that the anthrax vaccine was causing this. So I hear you when you start talking about, we have adults that work in healthcare. And they're being told, if you want to keep your job, you need to get these vaccines. And it's scary. I mean, because it's not just a children's thing. You're absolutely right.
Right. Yep. It's not just a children's thing.
I want to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the immune system. Because one of the things that we have started to evolve to believe in this audience is that just about every chronic disease is tied back to some malady of immune system response. And vaccines are specifically designed to do things to the immune system that could potentially weaponize it and cause it to attack the host. I want to talk about that reality and how it fits nicely into this discussion. We're going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger, get in better shape, and be more productive at RenewLifeRx.com.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but 6 of their top sellers. That's right, 6 different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
You've got your devices and apps that track your activity, workout, sleep, and diet. You have your medical records and blood work. All this data and none of it is integrated, so you can see a true snapshot of just what progress you're making and where. Now you can securely centralize all this data and become the CEO of your health. Heads Up Health gives you powerful dashboards, charts, and tools to connect all your data into meaningful information. One seamless platform. Go to headsuphealth.com today. Use code SHR and get 20% off your subscription. That's headsuphealth.com and use code SHR.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic. Plus, it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
A-T-R-A-N-T-I-L, Atrantil.
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
It turns out that real food ingredients actually taste great. I have been turned on to the RX bar, and it's amazing. I really, really love them. In fact, they sent me a bunch of samples, and I ate them all in 2 days, glutton that I am. RX bars are gluten-free, soy-free, and dairy-free, for those of you who are avoiding dairy. They actually get their protein from egg whites. You've seen them. They're the really cool bars that actually have the ingredients openly displayed on the front, like 6 egg whites and 3 dates and 12 almonds. And they're just so transparent as a food product. No artificial colors, no artificial flavors or preservatives or fillers. I like them in the morning, especially post-workout. I do have my protein shake with one, and I use that as my carb source. But they're great for snacks in the office or when you get that 3 p.m. slump. They come in like 13 different flavors. The flavors are fantastic. Mango, pineapple, chocolate hazelnut, peanut butter, and berries. I love the blueberry and the maple sea salt. Those are my two favorite. But they come in chocolate mint and so on. Peanut butter chocolate. Even coffee chocolate, for those of you who like that stuff. My audience can save 25%. That's a big discount off of your first order if you visit rxbar.com/SHR and enter the promo code SHR. I promise you, you will not be disappointed in these bars. I have to actually work to stop eating them, and I bet you'll have the same problem. So check them out. So we're talking right now with Dr. Thomas Cowan about his new book on vaccines and where they intersect in childhood illness. So I've learned over the years, when we look at longevity and health span, that an immune system that is robust but rarely activated to fight lots of different battles seems to be linked directly to the lack of diseases of modernity, and healthy aging. You know, more recently, the immune system has been blamed for the development of Parkinson's disease and glaucoma. When we talk about the immune system, we talk about the gut. When we talk about the immune system, we talk about inflammation. Everybody can agree that inflammation is at the root of every single disease of modernity, but they forget that that inflammation is deployed by the immune system, the TH1, TH2 immune system. And yet we think that injecting children with things that weaponize the immune system is a good idea. Can you speak on that?
So I think the best way to do this is actually start from the ground up and go through the basics.
Please.
So if you would permit me to do
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
So basically the way that this our system works, or so-called immune system, is when we, for the first time, encounter a virus or a bacteria that we haven't encountered before, let's use the example of chickenpox. So what happens is the chickenpox virus gets into and essentially infects hundreds, thousands, maybe even millions of cells, especially lining the respiratory tree. And then the body identifies these infected cells and calls forth a cell-mediated response, which is based on the white blood cells, to essentially attack and digest and excrete these infected cells. So the first step in confronting a viral infection or any infection that we haven't experienced before is a cell-mediated response, which usually lasts about 7 to 10 days, and it's characterized by the person is, quote, sick. And when I say sick, I mean fever, rash, cough, mucus, all the rest of it. The important point to note here is that which we call being sick, in other words, having a fever and a rash and a cough, is not actually the virus that's doing that. It's the cell-mediated immune system that's provoking this. Now, it's provoked by the virus, but it's the cell-mediated immune system
right.
that makes us sick.
Right.
And the reason I know that is because you can infect somebody with a virus and give them prednisone, and they won't be, quote, sick, but you could actually kill them. On the other hand, you can provoke a cell-mediated response with no infection, and the person will be sick. So again, the important point to note is being sick is a response of a function of the cell-mediated immune response. Now, because we don't want to get the same sickness over and over and over again in our life, we have a follow-up immune system called the humoral or antibody-based immune system, which tags one of the proteins on the outside of the virus, and you make antibodies against that part of the virus, so that if you ever encounter the virus before, you can isolate it and neutralize it before it gets into the cells, and so no cell-mediated immune response is required, and you'll never get sick again. When those two happen together and in that sequence, which is basically all infectious disease, with the viral diseases, measles, mumps, chickenpox, etc., it's almost 100% foolproof, meaning you will never get that disease again. And it's extremely rare in either experience or the literature for somebody to go through measles twice, go through chickenpox twice.
Interesting.
None of those. So that's the normal immune response, and that's how it always was until vaccine theory and practice. Now, it's very important for people to understand about vaccines that the theory of vaccines is we don't want the cell-mediated response. We only want to stimulate antibody response because that's the memory protective arm of the immune system. So the strategy of the vaccine program is to not stimulate or suppress or bypass the cell-mediated response and stimulate an antibody response. So that's what they do. Now, another important point to note here is that if you take, for instance, the antigenic piece of the chickenpox and put it with normal saline, salt water, and inject it into a person, they will not make antibodies to chickenpox, and so it's not effective. So in order to make it effective, you have to put what's called an adjuvant, which is a name for helper.
Bam.
Which is a broad-spectrum antibody-stimulating substance. And these, the most common one is aluminum, but they also use fetal DNA. And, you know, there's glyphosate and mercury and formaldehyde and a whole long list of other ingredients. Now, people often say, well, why do they put that stuff in there? It's obviously not good for you. And there's a very simple reason. The reason is you don't make an antibody response in most cases unless you put adjuvants in there. Now, the next important point is that an adjuvant like aluminum doesn't just make you make antibodies to, for instance, the chickenpox virus, because we don't know any adjuvants like that.
Right.
The adjuvants just stimulate an antibody response, one of which is against the chickenpox virus. But if there's peanut protein in the vaccine solution, you will also make antibodies against peanuts and against human DNA cells and a whole lot of other things.
And this is why I use the term weaponizing the immune system, because of these adjuvants specifically. But go
right.
on, please.
I wouldn't use that term, because I want to be as specific as I can. The function of the adjuvants is to stimulate a robust antibody response.
Right.
It's also the problem with saying, well, there's just a little bit of aluminum in there. But it's not about the amount of aluminum. The reason they put that little bit or whatever amount in is because it works. It works to create an antibody response. You can't say, well, it doesn't work, because obviously that's why they put it in.
Right.
Now, the problem here is a couple things. One is, if you stimulate a antibody response without a prior cell-mediated immune system, unlike what we were told at the beginning of the introduction of the vaccine program, you will never get long-term immunity or lifelong immunity. The reason I know that is very simple. That's why all vaccines need boosters. Because if you bypass the cell-mediated immune system, I can't emphasize this enough, you never get lifelong immunity, even though we were told that you would. So you end up with not preventing the disease for the life of the individual, but preventing it initially. It's usually maybe 8 to 10 years, and then with each subsequent booster, it goes down to sometimes 1 to 3 years. So you end up making people who are adults now susceptible to the disease.
Wow.
So that's one problem. But the real problem is, if you go in and make a definition of what is autoimmune disease, now here I'm talking about Hashimoto's and Graves and Crohn's and allergies and asthma, and even autism is a kind of autoimmune inflammatory response. And you say, what is the hallmark of all these? The answer is very simple. They're a situation of accelerated antibody production. That's how we diagnose them. That's the pathological, etiology of all these, is that you've somehow stimulated excessive antibody production, which is targeting one of your own tissues. Now, the million-dollar question here is, how come we went from a situation of where this accelerated antibody state was rare to a state where the accelerated antibody state includes approximately 100 million Americans? And, you know, because I have this unfortunate smart alecky tendency, my answer is, well, maybe the vaccine program worked. And the whole point was to stimulate antibodies, and
right. So
it did. I just want to say one other thing, that this is not actually my theory. I mean, I'm talking about it, but I want to read a quote by a guy named Yehuda Schoenfeld, who, just to list his qualifications, he's an Israeli editor of the Israeli Medical Association Journal. He's the editor of Autoimmunity Reviews. He's the co-editor of the Journal of Autoimmunology and a member of the editorial board of clinical reviews in allergy and immunology. So those are the four biggest autoimmune journals in the world, and he's the editor of all of them. And the only reason I say that is because it's likely he knows something about autoimmune disease. And so he says, throughout our lifetime, the normal immune system walks a fine line between preserving normal immune reactions and developing autoimmune disease. The healthy immune system is tolerant to self-antigens. When self-tolerance is disturbed, dysregulation of the immune system follows, resulting in autoimmune disease. Vaccination is one of the main conditions that disturbs this homeostasis and results in autoimmune phenomena and ASIA. ASIA is an acronym that stands for autoimmune syndrome induced by adjuvant, which he says there's at least 150 million people in the world who suffer from ASIA, and it's actually going to be renamed the Schoenfeld syndrome. So at least he's got his name in perpetuity. And he has fingered this 150 million people who have an autoimmune reaction because of the adjuvants that they've been injected with, whose purpose was exactly that, to stimulate antibody production.
Right, right. And I get this. I'm not as eloquent at breaking down the actual pathways and step by step, but I've started to understand this, and we've talked about it on the show in a more feeble manner, that vaccines are doing what they're supposed to do. They're activating a robust response by the immune system, but the problem is it's like sending soldiers out armed for war, but they don't know who their target is, so they just start attacking anybody.
Well, it's important to be as specific as possible. It's not what they're stimulating is the antibody response.
Right.
That's the whole point. Because
right. If
you gave a vaccine, now some vaccines do have a cell-mediated component. And by the way, I would only point out that insofar as cancer is an immune disease, which it probably isn't, but to a certain extent, it has an immune component. It's a failure of the cell-mediated immune system. That's why we can't figure out a vaccine against cancer, because it's not correctable by antibodies. So even cancer is a cell-mediated deficiency syndrome to a certain extent. And I would also point out that, in a sense, conventional medicine, and in particular conventional pediatrics, essentially is kind of an assault on the cell-mediated immune system, because whenever a child gets sick in the way I described, we give antipyretics like Tylenol and aspirin, we give antibiotics. We're always trying to suppress the cell-mediated immune system, and it's a bit like if you've never lifted anything in your life and you get to be 30 and you want to lift your, you know, half of your car, you can't do it because you have a weak function. And we end up with people with, you know, weak cell-mediated response, and it's the cell-mediated response that clears toxins and debris out of your body. It's the cell-mediated response in the form of fever, which was extensively studied in the early part of this century as even being a fairly reliable cure for cancer. So we've lost the perspective. And the interesting thing about it is we now know, because of peer-reviewed scientific studies, that children who don't go through robust cell-mediated reactions like chickenpox, like measles, it's all those childhood illnesses, absolutely have a higher incidence of a whole variety of chronic disease later in life, including glioblastoma, including heart disease, including osteoarthritis, including neurodegenerative disease. This is in the medical literature, very clear. The mechanism is all worked out, but we just don't, we don't listen.
Well, we don't hear about it. Let's be honest here, right? There is a huge push, a pro-vaccine push. In fact, anybody who talks negatively, even moderately negatively about vaccines, is accused of being a tin hat wearing, you know, has been probed by aliens, idiot. And that's a very successful media campaign on behalf of the companies and organizations that would profit from vaccine. And sadly, our own CDC, it's been unearthed that they own 22 vaccine patents. And, you know, that's a whole nother issue. But there's a huge push to make vaccines a larger and larger a vertical market within medicine. And it's scary to me. I want to take a break. I have quite a few questions I want to talk to you about when we come back. We're talking right now with Dr. Thomas Cowan. His book is Vaccines, Autoimmunity, and the Changing Nature of Childhood Illness. This is a must read, even if your children are grown, because you are at risk of these things depending on your vaccine load. And understanding where your autoimmunity may be coming from will help you resolve it. And we're going to talk about resolutions when we come back. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H-Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started H-Hemp Company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H-Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H-Hemp Company products. Search H-Hemp Company and use code SHR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H-Hemp Company and code SHR.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. Dr. Cowan, talk about herd immunity. We hear this all the time. Parents are forced into getting their children vaccinated because they're told that if their child doesn't get vaccinated, somehow all the other vaccinated kids in school will catch something. Doesn't the vaccine work?
Well, it works to a certain extent, but the question of herd immunity is an important one and I think requires some explanation here. So we're also told that you have to have between 90 and 95% of the population immune to a disease before you can have herd immunity. Now, if you take the case of measles, which is one of the most important ones where they talk about herd immunity, and it's more or less similar for all the rest of the vaccinatable illnesses. What you find, as I said before, is the easiest time and the best time to get measles is between about 2 and 6. And if you go through measles at that time, you're 100% immune for life. And what that means is that the girls who go through measles when they're children, when they're become mothers and breastfeed, they will pass antibodies against measles while they're nursing their children. So the children are immune because of maternal antibodies from ages about, you know, 0 to about a year. And then they usually get measles after that. They go through it and then they're immune for life and they're immune as adults. So in that sense, when in 1953 approximately, when all children had measles, we had 100% herd immunity. I would also point out that according to the CDC, which is required by law to report on infectious disease deaths at the end of every decade and every century, they reported on measles and said that the death rate from measles had dropped to basically zero by 1953 and was essentially zero from then on. And I would point out that the vaccine was introduced in 1963, and there was no change in the death rate or complication rate from measles as a result of the vaccine because it was already down to zero. Now, the problem when you give somebody a measles vaccine, because as we know, the measles vaccine only lasts at most 8 to 10 years, maybe 12 in some people. And the proof of that is that's the reason we give boosters to before you go to college. And now we require boosters every 10 years as adults, even though almost nobody gets that. So what you have is a situation of temporary immunity. And then if you look right now in the number of adults who are immune to measles, it's basically zero. Because their immunity, their temporary immunity from the vaccine has worn off. And the other sort of scary part of this is because the antibody production of the mothers, of the young girls who are vaccinated wears off when they become childbearing age, they have no maternal antibodies to pass on to the children as they're breastfeeding. So we've gone from a situation of no deaths from measles to now a situation where the babies are unprotected and the adults are unprotected. And so there's no possibility of herd immunity through a vaccination program. I can't emphasize that enough. There is no possibility of herd immunity through giving somebody a temporary antibody boost. Unless you're prepared to vaccinate against measles every 5 to 10 years for the rest of people's lives, which is simply preposterous. And the fact that we haven't done that, and we've had essentially only about 30% of the population in, say, 2010 is immune to measles, that's way below the 90% that we're told we need. We ended up essentially ruining her effective herd immunity through the vaccination program.
Wow.
So unlike what we're told, that it's antisocial to not vaccinate because you keep the disease in the population, it turns out it's exactly the opposite.
I donate blood fairly regularly. And one of the things that I discovered last year was if you have had the whooping cough vaccine or come in contact with someone who's had the whooping cough vaccine within a 6-month period of them being vaccinated, you are not eligible to give blood. And I asked one of the attendants there, I don't have it. I says, why is that? And she said to me, because they use an attenuated virus, and so technically you're contagious at that point in time. Now, was she right? She's just a phlebotomist. I don't know that she's correct about that. Is there any truth to that, you think?
I've never heard that. And the thing that makes me suspicious that it's not true is pertussis is not a virus in the first place. It's a bacteria that makes a toxin. And the vaccine is against the pertussis toxin, not against the bacteria itself, at least technically speaking. The other thing is the pertussis shot has clearly, pertussis vaccine has clearly been shown not to affect transmissibility of pertussis, as many of them, like the flu shot, does not affect the transmissibility or the infectivity of the flu. It simply doesn't do that. It just gives you antibodies for temporary protection. So I don't think that there's any anybody saying you can transmit a virus from pertussis because, A, it's not a virus, and it wouldn't be a blood infection anyways.
Okay. All right, so we've learned a lot about autoimmune disorders. We've learned that the gut, which is the wheelhouse of the immune system, can be affected by diet, and as a result, downstream changes in things like Crohn's disease, rheumatoid arthritis, and so on, once you remove the insult, the body can actually start to heal itself and fix these problems. So is there a role for what we've learned about nutrition, the gut, and autoimmune disorders in mature adults with children who have been exposed to vaccines?
Well, if you end up with a situation, again, like we're told by the probably the person in the world who knows the most about autoimmune disease, that there's 150 million people out there who have adjuvant-induced autoimmune phenomena. So they have a whole lot of different diseases. And in my book, I outlined a program that one might want to follow in order to address this. And it's actually fairly simple and comes right from the theory of how this happened. Because number one, you probably still have, the estimate is that the aluminum adjuvant lasts in your body up to 40 years. So number one, you might want to try to chelate the aluminum out of your body, which there's some very simple ways you can do that. Number two, you want to heal your gut so you're not leaking proteins and exposing yourself even further to antigens. So I outline basically a low antigen. It's similar to the GAPS diet or the autoimmune paleo type diets. So that's another step. And then I use a medicine called low-dose naltrexone, which actually has a sense rebalances your immune response. So it's more weighted towards the cell-mediated and less against the antibody humoral part. So that's basically the outline of how I go about treating, people with this autoimmune phenomena, whether or not it's stimulated by vaccines.
What about supplements? I'm getting ready to have some amalgam fillings removed, and I've been loading up with a product made by a company called Metagenics called MetalloClear. That's supposed to be a chelating type of a supplement. Do you think there's any benefit for these, or you think that they're just,
I can't comment on that particular supplement. I've never used it. I mean, I know about Metagenics, but I mean, with each case, you can't do medicine in the abstract.
Right.
It depends on the situation, and if somebody's situation started because of exposure to certain metals or aluminum in vaccines or which is, probably one of the most common, then you have to deal with that. And so it really is an individualized situation where You have to see each case for what it, for how it got to where the person is.
Have you seen people who have used chelating processes, whether they be oral or intravenous, actually start to correct their autoimmunity?
It's not something I've seen much, and it's not something I've used very much. So I would say I haven't actually seen that.
Okay. Plug a couple of your websites. People can get the book at Amazon.com. And I really mean this. While this book may speak to childhood illness, if you have any type of an autoimmune disorder, and there are so many of them today, including glaucoma they just figured out, you need to read as much as you can about autoimmunity. And this book shines a completely different light on vaccines. This is not the zealot type vaccine discussion. This is actual science-backed information that shows that vaccines do exactly what they're designed to do. They ramp up immune response, and in not necessarily a good way. So what other websites can people go to learn about your writings?
So as far as my writing, I wrote another book about year and a half, 2 years ago, called Human Heart, Cosmic Heart, which is all about heart disease and what the heart actually does. And so the website is humanheartcosmicheart.com. My sort of practice website is fourfoldhealing.com. That's all spelled out, fourfoldhealing.com. And that's based on a book I wrote up probably 20 years ago called The Fourfold Path to Healing. We have another one called Dr. Cowan's Garden, where we make and sell vegetable powders, which has nothing to do much with any of this stuff except insofar as we're interested in good nutrition.
Yeah, very good. What are the four fold of healing before I let you go?
So I talked about, in order to understand why somebody gets sick and how to help them, you have to understand diet and movement and medicines and thinking. And so those are the four paths that I talk about in the book.
Very good. Listen, thank you so much for being on the show. I think this is a really important book, and I hope that my audience gets copies of it, because there's a lot more to this than just childhood illness. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. We're going to take one quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more of Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000, or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to RedconOne.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
You've got your devices and apps that track your activity, workout, sleep, and diet. You have your medical records and blood work. All this data, and none of it is integrated, so you can see a true snapshot of just what progress you're making and where. Now you can securely centralize all this data and become the CEO of your health. Heads Up Health gives you powerful dashboards, charts, and tools to connect all your data into meaningful information. One seamless platform. Go to headsuphealth.com today. Use code SHR and get 20% off your subscription. That's headsuphealth.com and use code SHR.
Who ever heard of a supplement company that lets you pick the products they make and sell? What you have now, we are All American Body, a factory direct supplement brand proudly brought to you by All American Pharmaceutical. Don't pay more somewhere else. You can get the same or even better products directly from us. Now check this out. All American Body is a brand about you. Tell us what to make next so you can save big. Go ahead and request a specific ingredient. You know, arginine, citrulline, vitamin D, a product type or category, keto, greens, naturals, herbals, nootropics, and even a specific branded product or formula. We'll either copy it exactly or make it even better. And best of all, it won't cost anything close to what you've been paying, period. And if we do end up using your suggestion, you'll get the first bottle absolutely free. We'll also give you full credit on that product's description page. You'll be famous, signing autographs and people asking you to take pictures with them wherever you go. So head on over to allamericanbody.com right now. That's allamericanbody.com and make your product request today. All American Body. Crazy savings, insane results.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger, get in better shape, and be more productive at RenewLifeRx.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. Tomorrow's show is going to be really good. It won't start until 1 o'clock. Rob Regish is, I think, on vacation. Or he's taking his son, Max, Maximus, to Disney World tomorrow. Or I think they've already left, actually, so I don't know that it's tomorrow. But bottom line is he let me know that he wouldn't be available for a show tomorrow. So we're just going to cut out the 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock hour and move right on with the 1 to 2. And the 1 to 2 is going to be gold. I can predict that now. I'm going to be interviewing Dr. Satish Rao about a study that went around the internet 2 weeks ago. And I was actually supposed to do the interview 2 weeks ago, but I got sick. Remember when I got sick with the infection, blah, blah, blah? Which, by the way, I obviously developed immunity to it because I was literally down for 36 hours and then bounced right back before taking any antibiotics or anything. So my body actually started to fight it. The study shows a correlation between SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, and a phenomenon that has only been thought to occur in diabetics and people with specific nutritional deficiencies that we don't see, except in third world countries, and that is metabolic acidosis. People with SIBO tend to have more lactic acid-producing microbes seeding the small intestine. And so as a result, they produce a ton of lactic acid from the food that you eat. We're going to get to the bottom of which foods feed these bacteria. My guess is going to be starchy and sugary carbs. Let's see. But more importantly, one of the questions that no one has asked and no one has written about when they've critiqued or written about his study, where are all these lactate-producing microbes coming from? And I predict they're coming from the willy-nilly and crazy supplementation with probiotics that we see today. Could the probiotics that people are taking actually be fueling SIBO? I actually did a search term trend on Google and posted it to the Supreme Radio Network page on Facebook. But the search terms for probiotics exactly mimics the trajectory of the search term for gassy and bloating or bloated stomach, and for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Now, we're going to have somebody on the show after Dr. Rao to talk about the fact that taking probiotics is no big deal. And he's going to cite evolution. But I think that he's wrong, and I respectfully say that now, and he may prove me wrong. Because throughout evolution, no one has taken probiotics the way we take them today. Adele Moussa sent me a study, and I'm trying to get the author on the show right now. Many of you know that I have promoted VSL number 3 packets, which 450 billion colony-forming units of microbes in every pouch, 450 billion. And for years, I took that stuff. I have gut issues now. Could that have been part of the seeding process for my gut issues today? Very possibly. But more importantly, Adele just sent me a study that has linked taking that exact supplement with an inability to lose body fat in young adults. So this notion that, oh, you know, eating kimchi out the wazoo and taking all these probiotics and taking prebiotic fiber and just doing this stuff is like something that's good. It may not be. It may not be. And we can't keep saying food is medicine and hence nutrition is medicine without understanding that you could overdose on medicine and you could be eating too much of a particular food. Thanks to modern agriculture and nutritional production, you know, we can take 450 billion CFUs of highly skewed towards lactic acid producing microbes every single day of our lives, maybe twice a day, maybe three times a day. We've never done that. And through evolution, our ancestors have never done that. So to automatically discount that we've come in contact with microbes our entire life throughout evolution, and somehow that implies that taking all, and folks, I'm guilty of it, right? Look, I'm just like you. I thought more microbes, more microbes, more microbes, more prebiotic fiber, more prebiotic fiber. And I have gut issues today. Now, I can't say that it caused it, but did it contribute? I don't know. But we're starting to get to the bottom of this. We're starting to understand that shotgun blasting our guts with probiotics may not be wise. And we never did it throughout evolution. We just didn't. So it's silly to even try to defend that, in my humble opinion. But I'm going to ask Dr. Rao the question, the $64 billion question. Why do people have so many of these lactic acid-producing microbes in their small intestine, which should have no microbes in it? Is it possible that a combination of things are taking place? Low acid levels in the gut that develop bloating, and then they immediately hear a commercial about Activia and start downing probiotics in all different forms, thinking they're going to fix the problem. So we'll see that tomorrow. I hope you can tune in then. Don't forget to give RX Bar a try. I promise you, you know, they're not a high protein bar. They are a moderate protein bar, but they are a whole food bar. They make great snacks for kids' lunchboxes. The website is rxbar.com/SHR. Use the code SHR. 25% off your first order. That's huge. Check it out. We'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio, and thank you for listening today.